the Dodgers had no problem versus their rival Diamondbacks over the years swimming in the pool and celebrating.
Yeah.
I want the Yankees to pop champagne and stomp out that curb in game 6.
That would be amazing, right?
That's where they should go celebrate.
If the Yankees go out to just right field and they tear that little fence off and they're like, yeah! He did make one prediction I completely agree with, and it's actually logical, even though it's also symbolic. Aaron Judge's power is to right field. He's got some of the greatest power to the opposite field you will ever see. And I can totally see Aaron Judge smoking a ball into the right field corner that literally bounces off that tiny fence. And all of us being like, oh, crap, man, he just hit that fence. Like, I can totally see that moment occurring, mainly because Aaron Judge does that. Like, it's not like we're right. asking him to do something he doesn't normally do. And maybe the symbolism of that moment, because I know it was a year ago, and you could argue maybe it wasn't the Yankees' year no matter what. But that changed everything about the Yankee season.
It definitely did. It's weird because even though it's an inanimate piece of Dodger Stadium,
right?
It's part of the story. It's part of the narrative of this, or it should be part of the narrative of this World Series. You know they're going to work it in almost immediately, but it'll be interesting if Aaron Judge, something happens. Karma would tell us it is going to happen, or fate, or whatever the heck you want to say it. Great storytelling for whatever the video is at the end of it. It tells you something's going to happen down in that corner. That'd be awesome, actually.
No, I could see it. Now, by the way, I was telling you about the Dodger postseason roster, how they've re-added a few injured players. Left-hander Alex Vesey is now on the roster. Brewster Graterol is now on the roster. Miguel Rojas is on the roster. As I was reading the additions, I didn't notice who isn't on the roster. And Lugie said it in my ear and said, Evan, did you see who's not on the roster? Evan Phillips, who's one of the Dodgers' most reliable relievers, who pitched pretty well in the NLCS against the Mets, pitched very well in the NLDS against San Diego. In fact, Evan Phillips is one of those rare guys. He's never allowed an earned run or any kind of run in his postseason career over 15 and a third innings. Not bad. He's injured. He's dealing with some kind of elbow issue, serious enough where he is not on the Dodgers postseason roster. I think their best reliever is Blake Treinen. I'd argue their second best reliever is Evan Phillips. Lugie could argue with me, their best reliever is Evan Phillips. It's one or two. And that is a huge blow for the Los Angeles Dodgers, not having him on their postseason roster.
I don't want to hear it as an excuse. There's no Johnny Loaizaga on this Yankee roster.
Nobody's making excuses, bro.
Just making sure.
Wait, do you talk to people in L.A.? Do they make excuses to you?
No, I talk to people in L.A. They don't care.
Is that true?
That's the problem. We care here.
They're concerned about tonight's Lakers-Sun game a little bit more.
Yes. How many minutes will Bronny get?
Right. You got 18,000 people tonight showing up to see if they get a picture of Will Ferrell. They could care less about the game.
Really?
My
experience in L.A. has been that it's really a basketball town more than anything else. Like, they do love the Lakers, but the Dodgers sell out every game. And maybe that's because it's an event. Maybe that's the problem.
The stadium's an event. By the way, I'm sure they have plenty of real fans. But come on, not like Yankee fans. They don't deserve this at all.
Wow. Okay. I'm not getting involved in this fan argument. That's beneath me. All right. You fans yelling at each other.
Go listen to Jim Rome.
Does he do radio in L.A.?
I think.
I thought he works at our company.
Yeah, but I think he also does it in L.A.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
He double dips. By the way, here's the other important aspect of Gerrit Cole that should not be forgotten. Why it is such an advantage for the New York Yankees. So the obvious is he's an ace. He's great. He can shut down good hitting. He can give you 7 scoreless innings tonight and help the Yankees win a baseball game. And that's obvious and that's known. Here's the other thing. The Yankees and the Dodgers are going to use their bullpens a lot. There's no other way around it. No matter how well the Dodger rotation pitches, or even how well the Yankee rotation pitches after Gerrit Cole, Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts are going to use their bullpen. They're going to be heavily, heavily used. We saw that already in the series against Kansas City, the series against Cleveland, and we know the situation with L.A. They've used bullpen games, right? So the bullpens are going to be heavily, heavily used. The more innings you can get out of Gerrit Cole, the less innings you're going to have to ask out of all of these relief pitchers that, I promise you, are going to be asked to face the same guys an awful lot. Do some math here. Other than guys like Gerrit Cole, most starting pitchers are not facing a guy a third time around the batting order. It's a rarity these days, okay? Gerrit Cole, to me, is that rarity. He's an ace. He's pitching well. He'll face a lineup third time around. But most of the time, guys will not be allowed to face this same hitter
third time
around. Now, on average, guys will get 4 plate appearances per game. That means Do the math. If this is a 7-game series, that means there are going to be 14 different sequences in which you're going to have to use an arm to get a guy out. 14 different circumstances in which an arm is coming in or is in the game to face Mookie Betts or Shohei Ohtani. Now, you can't use the same guy every time. You also want to limit the amount of times the same guy sees that person. Nestor Cortes is on the roster. That's great. You don't want Shohei Ohtani seeing him 18 times. I know I'm exaggerating, but that's my point. So the more Gerrit Cole can pitch, the most effective Gerrit Cole can be. It's a part of why I want him on 3 days rest in game four, why I would push him to start 3 games in this series. The more often he pitches, the more innings he eats up, the more batters he faces, the less opportunities where you're going to have to find that spot for Tommy Kahnle to get Mookie Betts out.
There's no doubt about it. And I believe if the Yankees are trailing in the series, you will see Gerrit Cole in game four. Oh, by the way, of all those bullpen arms, do you know who is going to begin or who is going to be the most critical and who's going to be the biggest key to this whole thing?
Is that a trick question or
trick
are you asking
question? Because there's a reason and there's synergy and there's something I didn't see back in the spring.
Something back in the spring.
And it's all going to tie together over the next week and a half.
Luke Weaver!
No, it's Jake Cousins.
Jake Cousins!
Do you want to know what Jake Cousins' birthday is?
Jake Cousins' birthday is April 12th.
June 14th, 1994.
June 14th, 1994. Same day the Mets played the Cardinals, lost 3-2.
Same day the Rangers won the Cup.
What?
1994.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
We thought it was about the Rangers
what
all the spring.
This guy
this
is.
This year is about Jake Cousins being the World Series MVP.
So Jake Cousins was born the same day the Rangers won the Stanley Cup?
All those 94 references we made on the show over the last year?
Yeah.
It all was coming down to this. It wasn't about the Rangers. It was about Jake Cousins being the Yankee hero since he was born on June 14th, 1994.
We work with a lunatic, ladies and gentlemen. Bitch New York Ranger fan. I mean, it's not my fault the Rangers got bitched out by the Panthers last night.
No, this is what it was about the Yankees. That's the point. That's how we got here.
It's about the Yankees. You just told me about the Rangers winning the Stanley Cup.
Because we thought it was about that. We had it wrong. It was about Jake Cousins. It was right there in front of our eyes the whole time.
So let me get this straight.
OJ dying. Whatever the hell else happened, Blink-182's album, their last concert. This is what it was about. It was about Jake Cousins in this spot.
I want to get this straight. For anyone who's new to the Evan and Tiki program, that guy's name is Sean Morash. For months last year, he tried to tell us that everything that was happening was similar to 1994, and it meant the Rangers were going to win the Stanley Cup. He happens to be a loser Ranger fan. It is what it is. Okay, now obviously that didn't happen. They lost.
Yeah.
Okay. He is now telling us all these months later, on October 25th, 2024, as the Yankees are about to play Game 1 of the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers, that all those little niblets, all those little bones that were laid out for us was actually not about the Rangers, but about Jake Cousins' birthday and how he's going to lead the Yankees to their first World Championship since 2009.
It was right in front of us in plain sight the whole time, and we didn't see it, and now we see it.
Positive Tommy, do you believe that story?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, he's like,
nah. Here's one for the road, by the way, because the real champ showed up at the Garden last night.
It's not about that. It's World Series game. Jake Cousins.
Jake Cousins look good, man, though. I'll tell you, game five against Cleveland.
Woo-hoo-hoo, it's going to be cooking.
That's the thing about relievers, man. Like, when you write down a list, I didn't do this, though. Maybe I did do it. Screw it, I did it. If you write down a list and you go position by position or position group by position group and you analyze a series, the managers, who has the advantage? The rotations, who has the advantage? The number one, who has the advantage? The lineup, who has the advantage? The bullpen, who
has
the advantage?
We're not actually going to do that, are we?
No, I've already done it for you, so I get the quick cliff notes.
The RicoB at gmail.com.
Yes. I didn't do it on the RicoB. That's a Met podcast. I did one last night about David Stearns' press conference. You can download that wherever you download your podcast. I did this for research for this radio show, so I also didn't bore you by doing it on the air. I just give you the results. That's the beauty. I do all the boring stuff at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then at about 2:50, I give you 30-second cliff notes, and no one has to be bored.
I'm a loser. That's called the Evan Roberts in my brain at a podcast.
Yeah, that's a good one. I should start that. Right. The Yankees have a better bullpen, bro. Like, I don't understand. Like, just because the Dodgers throw bullpen games, and just because the Dodgers bullpen has been effective, like, I go pound for pound. I look at the different arms. I look at the different kinds of arms they have. I think the Yankees have a better bullpen.
Well,
I really do.
I think the reason that people think the Dodgers have an advantage on the bullpen is because they're relied on so often and pretty critical situations, or at least they have been down the stretch after all the injuries started to take effect for the for this Dodgers squad. So they've been in, like, high leverage. That's usually at the end of the game when something's really on the line. But you know what I mean? They've been in important moments a lot this season because of their pitching, you know, lack of health. So they've just done it a little bit more.
Well, that's the thing. But let me give you some facts, because I don't you love facts, a little quick facts. So far, the Los Angeles Dodgers have thrown 57 innings out of their bullpen. That's the most by any team in baseball. Now, obviously, they've played a lot of games. You know, you look at the Braves and the Orioles. They only played two postseason games, so they're easy to kind of throw out of this. But they threw 57 innings from their bullpen, more than the Cleveland Guardians, even more than the Mets. And the Mets played one more extra playoff game than the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodger team ERA from their bullpen is 3.16, which is fine. Like, that's okay. That's good. In fact, some may say that's adorable. 3.16 is fine. The Yankee bullpen ERA is 2.56. That's this postseason. The Yankee bullpen has been better. I think it is better. And I think what's going to be really, really important over the course of a seven-game series is not showing your bullpen that much.
Interesting.
Because the more you show your bullpen, the more it gets exposed. So let's go right back to the top. Gerrit Cole's the difference. Because if Gerrit Cole's giving you innings, that means less innings out of your bullpen. To me, less innings out of your bullpen means a more effective bullpen.
Right.
Advantage, Yankees.
Right. Now Carlos Rodon needs to do the same thing. And then Luis Gil. And
but you know what,
Clark
Teague?
Schmidt.
Here's the thing. You're right, that'd be great. Here's why it's not necessary. I look at Rodon, Gil, and Schmidt. And I look at the Dodger three guys, Jack Flaherty, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and Walker Buehler. And here's what I think. It's a wash. It's a wash.
Yeah.
You could flip a coin with those six guys. You really can. The difference is the Dodgers' fourth guy is a bullpen game. The Yankees' fourth guy is Gerrit Allen Cole. And that's the difference. All these
So we hope.
Look, here's the one thing I'll always warn you. Of course, so you hope. Baseball is the funniest game in the world because sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes Cody Ross turns out to be the best player in a World Series. Sometimes Cliff Lee's unhittable until he's hittable. So I totally get that Gerrit Cole could go out tonight and give up seven runs in two and a third innings. And trust me, you're going to want to listen to this radio station all weekend because I'm sure the dialogue will be completely rational. So I acknowledge that baseball can humble you at any point. But as we sit here just analyzing this, everything's close. Everything's the same, except for Gerrit Cole. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
We have a major, major show issue because we're spreading, once again, misinformation here. So Sean just did this huge speech about Jake Cousins and the
By the way, before you continue, I'm just so relieved that it wasn't any of the stats I gave because
no.
I'm like, I worked so damn hard.
No, because you're a man of honor and a man of integrity. I don't have to fact check you.
Thank you, Tommy.
So I'm going to fact check Sean, though, because Sean did this big speech about Jake Cousins being born on the day the Rangers won the Stanley Cup. What was that date again, Sean?
June 14th, 1994.
Jake Cousins was born on July 14th.
No.
July 14th.
Roster page right here.
Tells me July 14th.
Yeah, I'm going to read it to you right here from the Yankee website. 07-14/1994.
Tiki Barber, what does it say?
What do you believe? Do you believe Yankees or you believe crowdsourced Wikipedia?
I also have sources inside the Cousins family that are texting me. They say it's July 14th.
07-14-1994.
Hey, genius. 7th is July, dummy.
07 is...
6 is June. Anybody could be in sports talk radio, guys. If you just have, if you just kiss the right asses, you'll get on the radio.
Send your resumes, too. Rico B. at
gmail.com. 7 is July.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm right.
You're right.
According to the Yankee page, yes.
So you infiltrated our ears with a whole theory that Jake Cousins' birthday somehow is relevant to the Yankees because it happened the day the Rangers won the Cup and it's a month off.
Screw up the number.
I think you need to take a shower.
I screwed up the number. Yeah. 7 is July.
Yeah, it is July.
It was a month after the Rangers won their cup.
Oh, so good, too.
The one and only cup that you'll see in your lifetime.
This is what happens when you search for coincidence.
Yeah.
Coincidence doesn't exist.
Oh, God. Dodgers in 7.
He's back to that.